Hello everybody, welcome to Conversation Starters. This week we have a special guest on. We have Alexander Durny of Tech News. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. And we also have your friend. Who's your friend?
I'm Harry.
Harry. Nice to meet you, Harry.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, so we'll start with the podcast then by introducing yourselves, guys. I also briefly mentioned Tech News, but yeah, I'll leave you guys introduce yourselves and plug anything you want to plug.
Sure. Yeah, so I originally met James on Twitter through my sort of tech review website profile called Tech News. But now I'm sort of shifted over to working on a new website called Unearth, which I'm working on with Harry. And we both study engineering at Bristol Uni at the moment. And we're working on this website where it'll enable people to sort of find new YouTubers through a user-driven recommendation system. So that's currently what we're working on.
Oh, okay, cool. Harry, got anything?
Yeah, and Alex pretty much summed it up there. And I met, James through my friend Alex. So.
Yes, cool. Okay, so yeah, so guys, obviously keep following them on Twitters and stuff. We'll put the links to them down below so you get all the updates for their website project that they're currently doing. Also Tech News as well, YouTube channel that Alexander does or did. Do you still do it or
A little bit, like uni work has sort of drowned me a little bit, but I tried to do a little bit here and there.
Yeah, okay, cool. So let's just go straight into the conversations and the questions that we've got to start the conversations for today rather. I've got five today and then we'll just see where it goes and we'll just let the conversation go. So first question is, where did you go on your last vacation? So whoever wants to start.
My last vacation was quite a while ago. I went back to China to see my family.
Oh, wow.
Last year, and not been on any vacation since.
Yeah, really. That's pretty cool. So is your family live in China?
Just me and my parents here. So.
Oh, right.
All my relatives are in China.
Pretty cool. So do you go back often or is it just like when you can, I suppose?
When I can, yeah.
Yeah.
So not that often.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, like, my family live, like, if I had family that lived away, it was like 20 minutes in the car, you know, that's as far as I go. I wish I had relatives somewhere like that. It's a good excuse, I suppose, to travel somewhere to go, you know. We've got some money, let's go and see Auntie Sharon in Shenzhen, you know, type thing, you know. It's like, let's just pop over, you know. But that's pretty cool. That's a really cool one. So in terms of holidays, then that's like a holiday view, I suppose, then, and your family is whenever you can go and see family.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool, man. What about yourself, Alex?
So I went to Canada in the summer, which was really cool. I just went with my family, and we did sort of like Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, that kind of area. And my brother studies French at uni. We went to some like the French bits. But yeah, it was really cool.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, my holidays, if you don't follow the vlog channel and stuff, is pretty documented. So I think everyone knows where I go on holidays and when. But for anyone that doesn't know on the podcast, the last holiday I went on was Barcelona. We went for New Year's Eve. We went for a little three-night break for New Year's. Really, really good. Really, really, really good, actually.
Yeah. You went around the new camp, didn't you?
Yeah, we did the new camp, did a vlog on that if you want to check it out, people. But yeah, it was really good. And it was a good experience. The thing we didn't like about it was, because we went around New Year's Eve time, it wasn't really Christmassy. It was like a summer holiday, but in December. So it was nice for some aspects, but you're still in that Christmassy mood around, it was the 30th of December we went. So, you know, you're still in that Christmassy mood. You're still looking for like, you know, some sort of coziness, I suppose, in Christmas theme. But like the Christmas market, they take it down like on Christmas Eve. Like as soon as Christmas Eve comes, they take the market down. Whereas in the UK, obviously, our Christmas markets stay up until middle of Jan. So it was all very weird. Like all the decorations went down the day before Christmas. So when we were there, it was a thing. So that was, one critique about being there, I suppose. In terms of summer holidays, the last summer holiday I went on was to Fortaventura. Went for 2 weeks all inclusive, like a holiday sand holiday chill break type thing. There's plenty of vlogs on that, but yeah, that was the last holiday. Have you got any trips planned, either of you, or like in the future, like coming up? Or
I'm going to Cornwall for a week in Easter. It's sort of like something we do every year with the family, which is a really nice break.
That's cool. Do you go camping then, or is it like caravan?
We sort of rent a house on like a little estate, and so my cousins come and my grandparents come, and we all sort of like live on the same estate sort of area, and it's got like a swimming pool and tennis courts and everything, so it's quite nice. Like,
oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's very much like a big family get together. It's like I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a film called Daddy's Home 2, and like they all go to this lodge for Christmas, like this whole family go to this like big house for Christmas type thing, and they all it sounds a bit like that, I suppose. What about yourself, Harry?
No, I've not got any holiday plan, unfortunately. No. What about you? Have you got any?
I've got a few plans. I'm going camping now in like April, May, and June. We've got a tent, so we'll go camping. And then in September, we're going to Mexico for our summer holiday, which is the last one because we're trying to like save for a house now. So once it's paid off, it's like no more holidays like that extravagant. And we're actually booking our New Year's Eve break. Obviously, we did Barcelona last year. We're doing Krakow this year. So we've got the hotel, but we haven't booked the flight yet. But we can probably do that today, stroke tomorrow. So yeah, it's plenty coming. But like next year, we got to really rein it in because, like I said, we want to move out into a house and stuff. So it's like do it when you can, and then you know within your means. But now we've really got to prioritize saving rather than holidays.
Mexico sounds like an amazing place to go. Like the food probably going to be amazing as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had like we did originally book Egypt, but it was the hotel where the couple like died, like that exact hotel is where we booked.
Oh my God.
So it was very much like, but they didn't actually announce how they died, and I think it was like carbon monoxide. It came out, you know, that's what people think it was, because it was in the room and it was something happened in the room. So we was like, you know, straight away, we're not going there. Luckily, we booked the flexi book because somewhere like Egypt can be a bit like, you know, if anything happens, we can just change for free type thing. So we went to an estate agent and they were just like, yeah, you can change it to any of these places. We was thinking we're going to go in and change it to somewhere like Cyprus or like, you know, somewhere like Lanzarote or something like that. And then when they said, oh, yeah, you know, the same price is to go to Mexico, we're like, well, okay, let's go to Mexico. Do you know what I mean? So it didn't plan on that happening. It just... Yeah, that was the deal at the time, I suppose, that we could afford. And that was what we'd already, because we'd already paid so much into it, because we're paying, you know, you pay so much into it and stuff. It was like, yeah, you've got a big enough deposit for this now, so type of thing. So I was like, great, let's do it then. Very unexpected.
What's your favorite place you've ever been?
Favorite place I've ever been, that's a difficult one. I don't know. I think if I had to say cities, it'd be Copenhagen. When we went to Copenhagen for New Year's Eve, not last year, the year before, that was an incredible city. It was so small, but it was plenty to do there. It was really inexpensive, and it was just a nice, really nice place to, really, really nice place. I'd recommend it. In terms of like a holiday, like Fort Aventura was pretty good actually. I've been there a few times with family as well as with Hannah, obviously, and stuff. But yeah, what about yourselves?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Went to New York a few years ago, which was amazing. And it was like, I was really into Casey Neistat at the time. I'm not so much now. I watch him a little bit, but not so much. So like, I went and saw his, like where his office is, his studio.
Oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool.
And all the like, you know, the Empire State Building and everything. So that was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so envious. Like, I really want to go to New York, but that's what we looked at, because we go into Mexico, and I said to Hannah, like, you know, can we just get a little flight from Mexico for like a day or two just to fly out of Mexico to New York? Because we're over that way, you know? But yeah, probably won't happen. But yeah, no, that's definitely on my to-do list. But yeah, cool. What about yours, Harry? What's your favorite place?
This is really embarrassing because I don't travel that much at all. So I don't really, can't really say. But I've been to, I guess, Land's End in the UK when I was younger.
Oh, right,
cool. When I was like 12 or 13. It's a pretty memorable place, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to go there, Land's End. I was going to say one of my favorite places in the UK would be like Tenby. I don't know if you know that, like in West Wales. It's a really, really nice like seaside town. There's nice places in the UK. And me and Hannah like want to do like a backpacking trip. I think that's what we're going to do for a holiday next year. Obviously, because we can't do like something like Mexico. We're on about doing like parking the car somewhere and like maybe having like a circle type trek where we can walk so much and then like camp and then walk and carry all of our stuff with us, and have like a bit of a hiking holiday and camping. But there is some really nice places to go. We've been doing a lot more research on it now, obviously, because especially up like the Lake District and stuff, there's some nice trails up there and like scenery and stuff. So yeah. That's pretty cool. Cool. Okay, let's move on to the next question. The next question we have is, if you were asked to teach a class, what class would you teach? So we'll just go with like a subject, I suppose. What subject would you teach in a secondary school? If you had to teach any subject, which one would be your strength?
That's a difficult one.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd probably go physics, I guess.
Physics?
That's quite a boring answer, isn't it? I don't know. I guess physics was like probably my favorite subject. And obviously I studied engineering,
you've got to do something. Yeah, so if you've got a teacher, you've got to be good at it as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously you are quite, you said you're good at physics, so that could make sense. Do you do like physics at university or do you do, what do you do?
So we're on the same course and we both do mechanical and electrical engineering. So there's, especially on the mechanical side, there's a lot of like physics in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
And then the electrical side is more sort of circuits, as you can imagine. But yeah, I guess there's a lot of physics in it, a lot of maths. So.
Mm. Okay, so either physics or maths then, for probably both of you, is it? Or what about yourself, Harry?
Well, I would not teach physics because I had some bad experience with physics at sixth form. Rather not go into that. But I think I'd rather teach. Well, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a PE teacher. But right now, I don't think that's possible because I do not do sport. I'm not very fit, so I'll not be able to lead a class. I think I'd go with something like maths, just kind of like, you know, relax and teach.
Actually, can I change my answer? I'd probably go photography.
Photography?
Yeah, because I do quite a lot of like video work. Well, I did at my old school and I do a little bit at uni as well. And obviously, I've done some of those YouTube videos. So like photography, I think I'd enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know how qualified I'd be, but I think I'd do it.
Considering how my high school photography teacher was, you'd probably be more than qualified to teach the subject.
Yeah, brilliant. For me then, I think I'd probably go for like some like media studies. Like you touched on the photography bit there, where like in our school in particular, we had like media studies where like one of the topics, like one of the coursework was like you could create a short film or a trailer or a music video type thing. So like you do dip into it. But I quite liked the theory side of it. I quite liked the analyzing like film posters and like magazine texts and stuff like that. It's kind of English, but obviously English, but looking at... media text rather than actual literature type poems or whatever. So yeah, I think I'd say media studies, I think that would be mine. Mine. Kind of links as well with like what we do with all YouTube and stuff. I suppose the photography thing. And
what like got you into YouTube originally?
For me, it was just watching YouTubers. I always wanted to do it. And I was watching vloggers when I was in sixth form, and that was like 2011, 2010. So I was like really OG viewer, like before YouTube was big, and I wanted to do it then. I suppose people around me at the time weren't as supportive because it was one of those like weird things to do. And I had a girlfriend, like I wasn't with Hannah then, I was with a different girl, but she didn't really understand YouTube. She thought it was weird. So like for me to do YouTube then, it would have been a bit like, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't think I could have dealt with it.
I think that's the same for a lot of people, especially like in secondary school, there's a lot of like judging and people don't do what they necessarily want to do, and I think it's like a big reason why a lot of people don't start a channel.
It's only really when I left school and like university and stuff, and people like I've got like Instagram, and there's loads of people that on Instagram now that I was in school with have got like this is one person who's got an Instagram page for her house. Like she runs like a house blog. You've got this person who has got their own business, but they do like it sounds weird, but they talk to their camera on their phone on Instagram, and there's not many people who do like Instagram stories talking to their, do you know what I'm saying, like kind of like vlogging in a way. So there's a few people that do these things. There's a girl who's really passionate about like fitness, and she does that and talks to her camera like about her updates, you know, what she's doing in the gym, etc. So there's people that are using social media platforms a lot more. So that kind of gave me a bit more confidence as well. Yeah. And then my mate who was in school, Jamie, JTTV, he had a YouTube channel, which we didn't know about for like 3 months before me. So I was like, there we are, I'm going to do it. And then Hannah was really supportive. And yeah, so it just like all came together at once, really. But it was something I was thinking of for a while. What about yourself?
I guess I just saw like so the MKPhDs, that kind of like sort of thing, and doing like video work. At the time, I was doing a lot of like video work at school. We were filming sort of like the drama productions and the concerts and that kind of thing. So I already had like the knowledge that I needed to get started. And so yeah, I just sort of like bit the bullet and went for it.
Cool, cool. Because if I remember rightly, it was ages ago now, but you actually introduced me to the Ideas Network, which I remember. For all the phones reviews, if I remember right.
Yeah, Vodafone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm still in contact with them now. I've actually had a phone today, yesterday, sorry, from them. And I still get in contact, yeah. I've been invited to events with them as well. I'm not sure if you have, like, been good to that event.
It's a shame. I've never been able to, like, make it to any of them in London. But, I've been invited to a few.
Yeah, we should, if next time we get invited, we should, like, tie in and go together or something. Yeah, but, definitely. It's really cool. Yeah, I really like it. Anyway, a bit off topic, but that's what this show's about. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get to the next question. Okay. Other than your own, what website do you visit the most? Obviously, you guys are creating a website. Yeah. So what, you know, at the moment, obviously, I'm not sure how far in you are to creating it. But what website do you visit the most at the moment?
I'll go first. That's a really easy one. I think YouTube. Has to be the number one website. Yeah, spend a lot of my free time there.
Too much
free time. Yeah, or not free time on the website.
Yeah,
too. Yeah. Just I think it's just like it's like a TV replacement for me. I think, and I'm not a Netflix person either. So
and it's free.
And it's free. Yeah, you can get ad block and just skip through all the ads. There's some pretty talented people on YouTube like yourself. So I think it's generally a great platform to spend all your time on.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say, like, there's so many talented people, and I think that's, like, how we originally had the idea. There are people like you and a load of other people that I've mostly sort of found through Twitter more than anything else. And we just really thought that, like, the YouTube algorithm just didn't sort of push people to the top as it should do. And there are like the Logan Pauls out there who are doing ridiculous stuff and clickbaiting and that kind of thing that don't necessarily deserve the limelight. And so that's sort of where our original idea for our website came from. But I think for me, it's sort of split between YouTube and Twitter. I spend a lot of time on Twitter, but probably narrowly YouTube wins. Yeah.
Yeah. I think same for me, YouTube. But if I had to choose a close second, it'd probably be like Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram and Twitter are quite 50-50, but I don't know, I just countless hours of scrolling on Instagram, and I've seen the same photo twice or three times in one day at some point, and it's just I keep going. Do you know what I mean? It's just I don't know why, it's like an addiction. Other than like social media, like web channels and like YouTube, Facebook, etc., and Twitter, what other website would you say you use? I mean, I think for me, I'd probably say Amazon. I'm always on Amazon, looking at today's deals or what anything like that.
I think
is there any?
I spend a lot of time on BBC, like news. I'm really into my news at the moment, especially with like the whole Brexit and everything.
Yeah.
I think that's caught the attention of a lot of young people, which is probably a good thing in the long run to have more young people sort of engaged in politics. But I use Twitter a lot to like stay up to date, but BBC News is sort of the go-to for me, and sport, BBC Sport.
Yeah, BBC Sport's another one of mine, actually, yeah. What about yourself, Harry?
I think if you can split YouTube into, like, subcategories, then I think it's all in YouTube. Like, Alex talks about news. I think I watch some people who do animations on, you know, like, snippets of the news explaining what's happening. I get all my sources from YouTube, and I rely a lot on all the YouTubers. So,
yeah.
So, like Alex said, this is why we're quite, like, we really want to do this project. We also want to, you know, get involved.
Yeah
man, sounds inspiring. God, I feel like I'm doing nothing compared to what your guys' vision is. I'm just like, I'll just pick up a camera today and film what I do. That's like as far as I go. But you want to actually make a difference, and you want to actually create something that can benefit people like myself, you know, like other smaller YouTubers
it's difficult to sort of gauge how much people want this kind of thing, because there's nothing really out there that compares. I mean, there are websites where you can literally put in like number of subscribers, location, category, but nothing where sort of the users push people to the top, as it were, and like recommend and get their favorite YouTubers like noticed. But it's kind of difficult to gauge if people want it. So we're excited to launch and like see if there's a user base for this or not. But
Oh, cool. Sounds good. Sounds really good.
I think what I love about YouTube is that I don't think there's a platform out there that can give you like the most neutral view on what's out there, because there's always the YouTubers who pick one side and there's other YouTubers who do another side, and if you watch both of them, you can always get, you know, probably the most accurate information you can get from any other websites out there. So yeah. I do applaud for, you know, what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I had my last guest actually in episode 6 was Apple World on YouTube. And he's quite a big YouTuber. I'm not sure if you guys know him, but he came on the show and he was explaining how it's so difficult doing technology videos, and his channel was called Apple World, but he wanted to try and change his channel from Apple World to just like his name so that he can upload other things rather than just tech.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things where like how that conversation started was basically around like how I get my news from YouTube. And one of the biggest things I like to look at is I like to look at the people who are like Apple sheeps. Say like a new iPhone comes out, I'll watch a video from like Apple World and Taylor Civ Tech, because they're very into Apple. They're very like, not so much narrow-minded, but they're very like Apple is like the best. Do you know what I mean? Like that's it. Then I'll watch somebody like MKBHD, who's in the middle on the fence. You know, he's like, I like Apple, but I also like Android. Mm. And then I'll watch somebody like, I don't know, somebody else. I'll look at like a lot of perspectives, if that makes sense. And then I watch like 6 reviews rather than just like one. But yeah. I see what you're trying to say. Yeah.
And I think, me and Harry talk about this a lot. But like, I think it's important to have just like the appreciation of the tech rather than the brand. Like, forget the brand. Is the tech good? Are they pushing the brand trees every year? Is like what's more important to me, at least.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it's good getting different perspectives. Like, my girlfriend Hannah, she did a vegan channel a while back.
Oh yeah.
And she wants to start doing it again, but like she's just like, she feels like she's nothing in that space and whatnot. And I'm like, no, like what you do with food is different to what other people do with food.
Yeah. And it's so definitely massively growing. Like veganism is getting much, much bigger by the day.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about opinion on YouTube. It's all about opinion. Like you watch my videos, I'll say something about an Apple product, but you just watch something else and they might have a different view on it because they look at it differently. And I could use it differently to somebody else type of thing. So that's what I love about YouTube. And like when you said there, Harry, about the YouTube replacing your TV, it literally does with me, because whenever I'm like, Hannah's watching telly and she's like, oh, I'm gonna go to bed now, I'm not watching TV, I'll switch over to YouTube and I'll just sit there for like 2 hours watching. I don't even watch TV unless it's like the football or something. Like I literally don't turn the TV box thing on. So it is a really powerful thing, and especially the fact that it's like you can put literally anything on there within reason.
That's also the problem though, because lots of like night talk shows have been getting their videos on the front lines of YouTube, which goes against everything I feel like YouTube stands for from the creator's point of view of getting, you know, people, not celebrities, to post their content.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we need to like...
I think they're in the same category, and I think they shouldn't be in the same category in the sense of creators / TV personalities. Mm. I think maybe the you know, like the Late Late Show, for instance, is over 10 million subscribers, but I think they shouldn't get the Diamond Plaque Award, for instance, and they shouldn't get those type of rewards, and they shouldn't be, I don't even think they should be called subscribers, they should be called like followers or something.
Yeah,
do you mean?
True, yeah.
It's just like we're following the show like type thing, and I'm, because I think it's quite useful. Like I use the This Morning one quite a lot, because like when I'm in work I don't tend to watch This Morning, but me and Hannah love like This Morning, like what they have on there, so we'll watch like the odd story every now and again. But I don't think they're called subscribers and they get the same rewards that like people like you and I to get, you know, like the smaller creators, like getting a gold plaque to a big TV show, that's nothing. They get the chance to win like TV BAFTA awards and Emmys. Yeah. You know what I mean? The small creators don't. We get, that's what the gold plaque is for. That's what the diamond play button's for.
And I think, you know what I mean? Maybe a similar conversation around YouTubers or like celebrities like Will Smith to an extent. But then you could say maybe they're drawing their audiences onto the platform and sort of opening up a little bit. I think there's arguments for both sides, definitely.
I think the thing with Will Smith and like the whole Jablinski Games as well, which Jack
yeah.
Black,
yeah.
they're like literally filming the videos themselves. Like it's not like there's a big TV production and they've just like taken this conversation out of like Jimmy Kimmel or whatever and then just uploaded to YouTube and it's got millions of views.
Yeah.
That's different because they're literally taking it out of the TV show where there's like, I don't know how many people are working on that show. For instance, cameramen, sound, gallery guys, etc. Whereby Jablinski has got like his phone and he's in a pinball arcade filming. Do you know it's different that he is
and
a
creator. I think like the two mediums of TV and like online are really sort of merging together because I don't know if you saw yesterday or the day before Lily Singh announced that she had like a nightly news show on NBC or something. And so there are like YouTubers moving onto TV and
onto TV
personalities moving onto YouTube. So it's sort of a two-way thing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, you are right, actually, with the whole Joe Sugg thing doing Strictly and stuff like that. They are tending to, and he launched the New Year's Eve celebrations as well, at midnight on BBC, presented it. It's pretty mad. But yeah, no, YouTube and TV, yeah, it's going to be an interesting space, I suppose, in the future, but who knows?
And it's constantly evolving.
Who knows? Exactly. Yeah, I like how they have announced this new thing. It's in America. It's called BritBox, I think it's called in America. And I think it's going to be called, But basically, it's like a merger of BBC and ITV. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it is. And it's coming to the UK where you can pay a monthly fee and then, you know, have stuff on there. But yeah, it is interesting. Like, TV is trying to get online and, like, online is trying to get on TV in some respects.
Somebody can stop paying the TV license if they merge. Just watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even use BBC, but it is what it is. Like, you have to, I suppose, if you watch BBC online, like, you know, but... Anyhow, the next question is, what is the best thing about school stroke work?
So I think the timetable is a lot less packed compared to high school and sixth form, so we get a lot more free time to do our own thing.
Yeah, and I think like you sort of change what you consider to be like a lot of hard work because I mean A-levels and GCSEs there was like constant lessons all day every day and then at uni technically you have like more free time, you have fewer contact hours but you're still like always complaining about how much work you have etc. But I think there are I sort of see two sides to uni. You have like the work side which is rewarding when you sort of like get to work with people who have the same mindset as you, same interests, which is really interesting. And then you have like the social aspect where you live with people who don't do the same course as you or have like different interests. So like the two sides, it's kind of nice to have a break from work on one hand and then like get into work and sort of better yourself as well, as an engineer for us, but whatever you're studying.
I think a lot of things you do is kind of, especially with group work, like everyone came into uni, heard bad things about group work, getting into it, had bad initial experiences, but over time, you do more of it, you know, you make friends, you get into it, and it's actually, occasionally, it's quite a nice experience. And you get to meet like-minded people, like Alex said.
Cool.
What about
Brilliant.
You?
Well, I think for me, you kind of hit the nail on the head. I'll take a different spin on it. I agree with you in terms of uni and school, etc. But for me, if I'll look at it from a YouTube point of view, because that's kind of work, I suppose. I think it's just the reward of doing it. Like, you know, even you could take school and get you. I remember being in uni and just like when you actually did that piece of work, that, you know, that big essay, and you're like, I finally, you know, that's taken a good month to do, and I'm like really proud of it, and then. You know, and it's the same with the videos. It's like, you know, I look back at my channel, I've done like 450 odd videos, and it's like, wow, you know, like I've really invested a lot of my time in it. It's such a reward. Like, funny enough, actually last night, me and Hannah were just like watching old videos, and it's like, you forget things happen, but because I've recorded it and uploaded it, it's like, it's there, you know, it's just amazing. It's just the reward, I suppose, of actually doing these things.
And I guess you can see the analytics, you can watch yourself grow and like, that's definitely really rewarding.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a time machine too.
Yeah, you're right. Brilliant. Okay, I think I'll end it there. We've hit the time quota. Just want to say one more thing before your website. You know, this is your guys are working on it. How far away are you guys from like you know, maybe releasing something or like a teaser or something?
So we technically have a launch site at the moment. Our website is unearth, unurth.online. And so we've sort of like got a stable launch site there, and we're going to be hopefully taking like email addresses for people who are interested in the idea. I'm working on the front end and Harry's working on the back end, sort of like sorting the data from YouTube and that sort of thing. And I think we're hoping to launch sort of early summer. We're just coming up to uni exams at the moment, so it's getting a little bit hectic. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're looking at hopefully like a sort of June, July launch date, ideally. But if anyone's interested, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Unearth Online. And we'll be sort of tweeting updates and like that sort of thing. So yeah, we'd really appreciate it if you could like follow us. That'd be great.
Brilliant. Well, count me in. I'll definitely be up for the testing and helping you guys out. Great. And everyone be sure to follow them. As I said, it'll all be links in the show notes, in the YouTube description, on the YouTube channel, and everywhere. I'll also, on my latest vlog, I'll shout it out as well for you guys on the YouTube channel. But yeah, that's episode 8 of Conversation Starters. Thanks to Harry and also to Alex for joining. Like I said, be sure to follow them down below. And I'll see you guys next week for more conversations with more guests. Goodbye.